listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Happy season. Glad to be here.
Happy seasons to you, too. Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we are going to begin this festive evening with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right. And on to tonight's festive season topic. We're going to be talking Yuletide. We're going to be talking some winter traditions. We're going to be talking some folklore, and I am looking forward to it.
Well, it's exciting. I love this time of year. My family and I celebrated, of course, COVID style, celebrated Yuletide on Monday, and we had a great time. My daughter and I, my oldest daughter, who will be 42 right away, we had quite a talk on Monday about what it takes to change up the routine, even against all odds and in the face of other people. And I said, because I had changed from the Christian Christmas to, what I am more heartfelt with, which is the 21st or the 22nd, however that falls. And she said, well, what it took for you to do that, going against the grain of society. And I said, well, to be perfectly honest, when you kids were young, I was happy to do it. I did it more than 30 years ago. And I said, yeah, I didn't have to have any discomfort with kids going with their dad, on Christmas Day. I don't care. We already had ours, one step ahead. So to me, it was an easy transition for a whole lot of reasons. And of course, I didn't get any flack for it. Until my kids were grown and gone. And, you celebrate Yuletide still? I most certainly do. And
what's wrong with that?
Well, commonly known as the pagan celebration. And, that's okay. It's an okay term.
That term is so, 13th century.
I know. Well, it's the term that the Christians gave to indigenous people of all races, by the way, who they believed pagans or those who lived without God, and which nothing could be further from the truth. But technically, as I see it, it's pantheist, one who believes God is in the nature of all things. It's the force. It's the energy. And so we have a celebration. I've researched. I'm mostly Scandinavian. I knew my mother was, you know, full Norwegian. And I had traced my mitochondrial DNA many years ago back to the Sami people, upper Scandinavia, which excited me to no end.
That's very interesting.
And then I did my full DNA not long ago. It turns out I'm 74% Scandinavian, so I loved it more.
That's
because I've had this great affinity for the culture and old traditions. And again, I say pre-Christian. So we have a number of things that we do that are you know, kind of our little rituals. But to be honest, it looks very much like what anybody else would do on a Christmas.
Well,
Santa Claus visits and,
yeah.
You know,
I think we're going to kind of get into that too. I mean, how all of these traditions kind of meld into the modern idea of what Christmas is. But it's because it's not. Every scholar, biblical or not, knows that Christmas is not really rooted in religious, you know, Christianity.
Yes, exactly.
And Yuletide is a big part of that. Those Germanic and Scandinavian roots of Yuletide, of the, you know, ideas of St. Nicholas, the Christmas tree, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's just a lot of these fascinating traditions that come from, as you said, these indigenous cultures, by which we mean, you know, predating Catholicism,
yeah.
Predating the Western world.
Yes.
Or rather the Western world in an earlier time. And
well, exactly. And that's what it was. I mean, so many traditions, practice in Christianity come from, you know, the indigenous cultures.
Right.
Indigenous European cultures.
It was a fantastic marketing strategy because you incorporate these existing traditions and you put it into a, you know, Catholic or Christian package, and it makes it much easier to transition. And,
yep.
You know, let's be honest. When we're celebrating, does it really matter what the day is or what? The point is we're finding excuses to come together and celebrate one another. And the winter solstice has a big part of that. All of these traditions are really rooted around the winter solstice.
It's the quietest, to me, the quietest time of year. We have the longest night in the northern hemisphere, of course, the longest night, the shortest day, and it's the day of light. And, you know, where you pray, the next day there'll be a couple of more minutes of light. So it's like winter is everything is sleeping and preparing itself to come to life again. And that's what we celebrate. We tell those stories and teaching my grandchildren. My daughter's asked that I, you know, teach her all the little things that we do, which we can talk about a little later on. But it's all very ancient, and it's quite a challenge to research, you know, what were some of the little things that, by the storytelling, and, you know, what do you do? Because I wanted to resurrect my culture. And celebrate that. But, you know, as we were talking before the program, Michael, would you find seven different? Go ahead.
Talking about these winter solstice traditions from around the world, because it is part of our core culture. These solstice events, these celestial events that happen have informed our people for countless millennia. And so we're just going to take a moment, and we're going to go over seven winter solstice celebrations from around the world. And credit to Britannica.com for some of this information.
Good.
Yeah. I have to cite this. But, of course, the longest night of the year falls on December 21st in the Northern Hemisphere. And for our first example, we're going to talk about, I hope I'm pronouncing this correct, Soyl. It is the winter solstice celebration of the Hopi Indians of Northern Arizona.
Wow.
Ceremonies and rituals include purification, dancing, gift-giving at times, which is an interesting correlation. At the time of the solstice, Hopi welcome the Kanichas, protective spirits from the mountains. Prayer sticks are crafted and used for various blessings and rituals. And another interesting tradition is a Persian festival. This is the festival of Yalda. Now, Yalda, or Shab-e-Yalda, is a celebration of the winter solstice in Iran that started in the ancient times of Persia. It marks the last day of the Persian month of Azar. It is a fascinating look into the past when you think about these months that no longer exist, these ways that people thought that no longer exist. But going on to the description, Yalda is viewed traditionally as the victory of light over dark, the birthday of the sun god Mithra. Families celebrate together with special foods, and some stay awake all night to welcome the morning sun.
The interesting, when you talk about Mithra, we have Baldur, who was the god of light. So that's just an interesting correlation right there, too.
And it shows how deep these traditions go.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm finding this fascinating.
The correlation is just remarkable. But the Inti Raymi, and my pronunciation is, I'm just being very mush-mouthed on these, so I apologize, but the Inti Raymi is a solstice celebration that comes in June rather than December because it's in Peru. It is their winter solstice. And this Incan celebration is in honor of the sun god. See, there's another correlation. Originally celebrated by the Inca before the arrival of the Spanish, the Spanish conquistadors, the festivities included feasts and sacrifices of animals. The Spaniards banned the holiday, of course, but it was revived with mock sacrifices instead of real ones in the 20th century and is still celebrated today in Peru and the areas of the Inca. And that's an interesting thing because South America, Southern Hemisphere, different solstice.
Mm.
Now, the next one on our list is really a classic one, and Dr. Stephen had alluded to this. The pagan festivities came first, he had mentioned in chat. And I think this is the key one when we think about Christmas. It is Saturnalia. The ancient Roman festival of Saturnalia is perhaps the most closely linked with the modern celebration of Christmas.
Mm.
This festival happened around the time of the winter solstice and celebrated the end of the planting season. There were games, there were feasts, gift-giving for several days. And this is one of the most interesting aspects. The social order was inverted. Slaves did not work, and they were briefly treated as equals.
Hmm.
Excuse me. So we're getting towards the end of our list here, and this is an interesting one. Number three, midwinter in Antarctica. Now, this is interesting because who is there to have a celebration? But
yeah.
Even Antarctica gets its share of solstice celebration thanks to the researchers staying there over a long, dangerously cold season. While we in the north are enjoying the most daylight hours, in the southern hemisphere, they are celebrating midwinter. Now, the researchers' festivities include special meals, films, and handmade gifts. And I think the penguins probably do get on them, too. Now, our second to last here is St. Lucia's Day. Now, this you might already be familiar with, because this is a festival of lights celebrated in Scandinavia around the time of the winter solstice.
Yep.
Now, it is now meant to honor St. Lucia, a Christian martyr. It has been incorporated with the earlier Norse solstice traditions, such as lighting fires to ward off spirits during the longest night. Girls dress up in white gowns, they have red sashes, and wear wreaths of candles on their heads in honor of St. Lucia. And I wonder where that originated, too.
Mm.
Now, our final interesting solstice tradition is Dongzi. Dongzi is the arrival of winter. It is a festival in China. It's an important festival.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, this is one that was new to me, too, although a few of these have been. It is a time for family to get together and celebrate the year that they have had. They look back. Based on the traditional Chinese celestial calendar, the holiday generally falls between the 21st and 23rd of December. It is thought to have started as a end-of-harvest festival, with workers returning from the fields and enjoying the fruits of their labor with family. Special foods are enjoyed, and special events to mark the ending of the season. So that's it. That's our little trip around the world to try to look into some of these interesting solstice events. But isn't it interesting how they all kind of rotate around the same core, you know, ethos? It is...
Sorry to interrupt. One of the things I find interesting with the white and the red, because one of these stories, and as we bless poachers, and I'll say what that is in a minute, but we, the mothers of the past, present, and future, Erd, Verdandi, and Skuld, are black, red, and white. So a white piece of cotton for the future contains, you know, holds the herbs, and it's tied with a red ribbon. So we reflect on the past and, you know, to this moment in the present and what we're praying for and the energy, and we honoring the spirit of, you know, what's to come. So those will be the great mothers, the mothers of life. So I find that interesting that the correlations of those colors are universal in indigenous cultures.
And, you know, that is just a very interesting way to look at it, too. And, you know, as we kind of talk about these traditions, we can kind of get into, you know, the modern, you know, traditions that we have. We have Yule that is celebrated. And, of course, Christmas is often celebrated as a secular tradition in addition to being a religious holiday, which, again, has roots in the ancient solstice traditions that go back countless millennia. But, you know, we thought we were going to have a little fun tonight, too. So, you know, before the program, we were, you know, thinking about different folklore and mythical creatures. And, you know, Krampus is really making a comeback in culture. I don't know.
I love that Scandinavian, man.
It's yeah. Awesome. And
I had a chuckle when you were going to look them up and find out what Krampus is, because it certainly is making a comeback. I see the memes everywhere, and, you know, I know some of the old stories, but I know that there's people actually enacting this, like in their costumes and full gear and practicing it. So go ahead and explain what Krampus is.
All right. Well, just to kind of, you know, paraphrase, Krampus is – and I know everybody's probably seen a picture of Krampus now, but it's a horned figure from Alpine folklore who kind of correlates with the old tradition of St. Nicholas, the scares children who have misbehaved. And some tales, he actually rewards the well-behaved on the 5th of December with modest gifts. Oranges, I think you had made mention of that, actually. Dried fruit, walnut, chocolates. The origin of the figure has, of course, pre-Christian origins. It really comes from, you know, the old Germanic traditions that were taking place in Europe prior to Catholicism coming into play. And it's, of course, you know, got along with St. Nicholas and Santa as a counterpart. And it really kind of fell out of favor, I think, in the last couple centuries. But, you know, the idea of not only are you rewarded for being good, but punished for being bad, seems to be making a comeback, and I don't, maybe it has something to do with the current perception of the behavior of children. I don't know.
I don't know either, but it is it's a great amount of fun, and that's one thing I'll say is that it is done in fun. It's not.
Yeah, it is. And anybody that wears a Krampus outfit, you know, they're just joking around. Nobody is intending to actually scare children. It's just kind of a tongue in cheek joke these days. Which is good.
It is. It's great, great fun. I find the universal connection in so many ways, whether it's symbology or in celebrations and what we do with you know, these various cycles of the year. It's fascinating. It excites me actually to be able to restore, certainly in my reality, restore some of what to me resonates better than, you know, I'm not a Christian, so there you go. And as Dr. Stephen said, children may have a different reaction idea on this about Krampus.
Yeah.
You know, for those who are listening in the archives, we have a number of people in the live chat, and there's always some kind of commentary going on, so we're trying to stay on top of that at the same time of talking to you. It's great fun. One of the things that the story of Balder and, you know, imparting this to my grandchildren. Well, right away, as I'm talking about Odin and Baldur being the son of Odin, and right away, my grandkids are talking about how they watched certain cartoons and they knew exactly what happened. And I thought, oh, and we all looked at each other. Yeah, that's just about right. So these cartoons are, you know, little movies are kind of getting the story right. So there seems to be a resurrection, if you will, which I'm really glad to see, of people looking at the alternatives besides the Christian way of doing things. And you know, in all fairness, I don't really care what people celebrate. It's whatever knocks you out. And I know right. A lot of people who are not Christian, but it is a good time. I think logically, you know, that's when people get a holiday. And that's when family can get together, and I get it. We actually take the days off and don't care, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't have that same ability to do that. So, you know, I appreciate that and certainly get it. But part of it, if I can share this with everybody, part of the, with every culture is little stories about what, certain herbs do, and hawthorn is one of protection and prosperity, but mixed with mistletoe. And if you want to look up the story of Baldur and Loki, you know, finding Baldur's weakness and killing him with mistletoe, because it was one thing that Baldur's mother had, you know, missed about getting everybody to agree not to harm Baldur. So mistletoe didn't agree. So he found Loki found a spot in, you know, Baldur's ankle and killed him. So that's why, mistletoe being that really powerful force, and there's lots of stories online about mistletoe. It is really a powerful energy. So you put it with something and always acknowledge it and always acknowledge its power. And so then... I always put mistletoe and hawthorn together in this pouch, and we hang it over our doorways. Every year it's a new one, and you burn the old one. So letting go of the past. So it's very symbolic, and of course having something over your doorway always reminds you about who you are, you know, yeah. And where you come from, and just that, I don't know, just that special energy connection, and that, you know, rises in your consciousness. So, you know, to be clear, though, what's something that I really wanted to touch on tonight was confronting, in a good way, people who have opinions of us celebrating pantheistic types of events. And it's just to be respectful. And my daughter said that she was actually challenged by a few folks who are Christians, saying that, well, no, your Santa Claus can't come to your house. He doesn't come until the 25th. And, you know, my kids are worried that there won't be anything left. And my daughter looked at this woman and said, well, there's a lot of people on the earth, and he can't possibly get to everybody. You know, I mean, so
hey, listen,
plenty left.
I have seen the movies. They work it out. All right.
They do work it out.
Tim Allen, Kurt Russell, whoever you put in there, they're going to figure it out and make it happen. But, you know, come on. I have an interesting perspective on it, because raised as a Jehovah's Witness, they never celebrated any holiday, let alone Christmas. Mm. So I never once in my life, even as a child, believed in Santa. So it's kind of an interesting idea to think that there's actually a Santa that, you know, you would believe in. I like this. Dr. Stephen says NORAD confirms proximity, which is true. And I like I have a Stargazer app, which shows you the different constellations, what stars you're looking at, uses augmented reality. You know, cool stuff. It's been around for a bit. But this particular one on Christmas, it just happens to show Santa flying over on Christmas Eve. Nice little, you know, tongue-in-cheek thing there, which isn't that great about humanity, that we come together and just enjoy and celebrate one another, that we have fun with things like that. And it doesn't matter really necessarily the origin. It's about just finding reasons to come together and enjoy each other's company. to celebrate life, to celebrate the end of the season, to celebrate the harvest, to celebrate life beginning anew with the days becoming longer again.
Yeah, I totally agree, Michael. And it's, of course, I can be a little flippant at times, and somebody says, you know, Merry Christmas. And I said, well, it doesn't bother me that you're Christian. it kind of turns things around a little bit. But
from my perspective, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't celebrate Christmas in the first place.
There you go. But it's, again, I think, though, when you are pantheistic, it's a challenge, because if we were Jewish or, you know, some other faith, and people would tend to be a little more tolerant. But when there still is this view that when you're pagan, you're without God.
Right.
Because they're actually taught that. And that's the unfortunate thing. But, you know, I shrug it off. And,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I got caught up in your point, because it's just this absurd notion that you cannot have ethics without a dogmatic God. You know, that right and wrong comes from God. Well, then how can you define what is right? How do you define that you have a just and loving God if he is what determines what right and wrong is? Mm. Sounds fascist to me, but...
I know.
But I digress. I digress. And, you know, again, I will say this. You know, if you can walk the walk, I will at least respect that. And people who truly try to exhibit the notion of Christianity, they are not judgmental. Isn't that a key thing? There was a great point, and I don't want to get on any kind of soapbox or go on a religious rant or anything, but here's a great quote I read on Twitter. People that talk about putting the Christ back into Christmas should try putting Christ back into Christianity first.
Oof, that's huge.
Isn't it?
It's powerful, yeah.
And it's just a... It is a shame that anybody would, well, not to be redundant, but shame you for celebrating the way in which you want. It's your right and your daughter's right to celebrate as you want.
Well, again, I didn't raise my kids, with any Bible influence. So here she was in her 30s saying, you know, I think I should look this up to know what they're talking about, because I have no idea what the Bible is about. I thought, well, it's your free will. You know, that's
right.
If you want to research it, that's cool. See?
Well, I'm sorry. We're walking down the hallway and we're both stepping to the side at the same time. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I just wanted to say that, you know, it's, I got on this analogy with the hallway, and it slipped my mind.
We can get to know a little bit about what each practice and what you believe, and I think that's a good thing. But this is the one time of year that I appreciate the most, where, for the most part, with disclaimer, of course, people are calmer, at least on Christmas Day. Fewer wars. Everybody kind of agrees to put their weapons down for a moment. Again, I have my disclaimers.
Yeah.
But it's just to, you know, I call it the day of light. I really do. I like Christmas Day for that, because I can feel and hear the quiet. It's not as noisy in the universe.
You're right.
You know, certainly in our what resonates over the earth. So I appreciate that, and that's why I love this time of year. I'm sorry so many people are stressed and feel minimized in this year for a lot of reasons, but namely COVID. But again, if we can really see what this time is about, and it's in the quiet of the self, and those you were most close to. And it really isn't about material things and things. Yes, we draw names, we give a gift, etc. But that's the loving and the gesturing to make sure that your family is fed, other people are fed, and everybody is managed through the year, and that the next season is assured.
All right.
So if we can see it for a greater value, a spiritual value, and I think this year of all years teaches us that, if we're willing to see it. So, you know, that's kind of my little soapbox for the night, because I know my daughter has said, yeah, but, you know, COVID is so isolating.
Hmm.
And I said, you know, I know what you're saying, but we have so much technology to keep in touch and ways to connect with each other that wasn't 100 years ago, that's for sure. People are just used to having those addictive fixes, you know, the immediate gratification. So this is like overcoming a social addiction. And mm-hmm. and that's a really tough time. You know, it's like, no, I want to go to for dinner. I want to go there. I don't want to wear a mask. And it's these kinds of, you know, look in the mirror, people, and just calm. Just be calm for a moment and say, well, you know what? My power went out for 9 hours the other night. And then in the morning, I had no coffee. Oh, I was not nice. You know?
And understandable.
I said, oh, I am such a cranky old lady without coffee. What does that say? That I can't get through, you know, a number of hours without coffee. And I had to own it. That's just me being a spoiled brat. You know? Really. And we, like, it's just silly, but that's what these things teach us.
Yeah.
And so we're having to be really reflective, introspective, and know that there is new life assured. That's what this is. There is a, you know, couple of more minutes every day, you know, and everything is improving. And again, I don't want to in any way minimize what a dark time it is for some people. It's a lot of suffering.
There is.
And, you know, we see it here. Whew, I know it's worse in other places, but we have our homeless population growing by the day. Mm. And one fellow came in who's living on the streets, and I'm helping out a friend at her shop right now, and he came in and asked if he could buy a couple of masks. And I said, no, I'll just give you a couple. Oh. You know, that kind of, and it's just that gesturing. So I also asked Sharon, I said, how is it that you have all your snow shoveled so early in the day? She said, oh, I pay the homeless people. Nobody bothers me. She said, I hire them to clean my windows. I hire them to shovel snow. You know, hire them to sweep my sidewalk. She said, we're all good friends. So and that then, gesturing, but I mean, I'm thinking, I at least have a roof over my head yeah. when I'm cold, when there's no power. Other people have nothing. They're camping out. And so this is a time where we made a point of sending love to everyone. And may we please get through these times as one humanity, looking out for one another and sharing. So that's kind of where I'd like to, you know, impart to everyone today. And I didn't mean to get on a soapbox, but well, I love this time of year, and I think it's a very hopeful time of year.
It is.
Are there hard times ahead? Absolutely. But we can get through this if we do it together.
Absolutely. And we know we can get through the hard times ahead by looking to our past and seeing what we've already accomplished.
Yes.
So, great soapbox to get on. And what are we here to do if not get on our soapboxes?
I like the soapbox.
It's fun.
It is fun. But, you know, we're going to draw some cards tonight. You know, we don't have as big of a crowd tonight, and that's all right because we know it's that time of year. We know we'll see them in the archives and hear from them later, so that's fine. We will be back next week. For mm-hmm. everyone, so you know that we're sticking with you, we're here for you. You need that Wednesday night fix like we do, then we're here. So, but let's start with Dr. Edwards. So we're going to pull one of the inner oracle self-discovery cards, you know, built by Dr. Kelly, and reflecting all of the studies in the IMHS program, and also the ICMH Church, and then I'll support that with the tarot card.
All right.
So let's go for it. How about Dr. Edward first, Michael?
All right, Dr. Edward. Let's see if you've gotten this one in a little while. Number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Whoa, well, Edward, I got that backed up with an Ace of Diamonds, Ace of Pentacles in tarot language. And that's really about finance, looking at possessions, material things, and where are your boundaries for giving and perhaps even for receiving, you know, and that value for value. And this is just that reminder. Maybe it's a time not to go overboard. Maybe it's a time to, you know, keep it simple. But it is a time of, when else I get feeling, you're going to have a way better year this year, Edward. I can sense that. But it's just a little reminder here to, you know, reel it in a little bit and be frugal, perhaps. And, you know, everything is simple and you're all good. So I like that reminder. I do.
Very nice.
I think we have Audra next, Michael.
All right. So I'm shuffling, and we were talking about this last week, whether or not we put the cards back in and shuffle them, mm-hmm. and I said sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Tonight, I am. Let's see if any of them turn up again. It's going to be only a few cards.
Right.
Audra, I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Wonderful card. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, Audrey, I got the Four of Spades in support of that. And I know some people will say, ooh, that's kind of negative. I don't see it that way. I think what it's saying is take a break. Take some rest. Take some time to, you know, slow down. In essence, it's like repose. It's a chill out kind of time. Take it easy. And in that thinking for yourself, it's like maybe taking a little bit of an inventory, and don't make any big decisions right now at this point. And I take sometimes that four literally, so it might be for another 4 days, another 4 weeks. It's just saying, you know, relax as best as you can. Just, you know, stay in the quiet of self. Well, that makes sense to you, so, you know, as we move on.
All right.
Okay, Shirley is next. Nice to have you here, Shirley.
Actually, I'm sorry. We have Dr. Kevin.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry, Kevin. We missed you. I missed you.
Let's do it. All right. So, Dr. Kevin, I have a good one for you. It's number 9, blank. This is an interesting one. It's a wild card. And it is definitely a wild card. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
I got the Five of Clubs for you, Kevin, in support of that. I see that as victories, it's a celebration of sorts. So I'm going to say that this, take this solstice, Christmas time literal, and do a little, reflecting, and look how far you've come. Take a breath and make a plan for the future, like taking those steps forward, because anything is possible. But celebrate yourself right now, and celebrate in that spirit of goodness. So I like that energy. And it's gentle. That Five of Clubs is gentle in that celebration. I appreciate that. Okay,
all right.
You know, Audra, I just have to interrupt and say, Audra, when I told her to take it easy, she said, I wish I could. She'd been in a car accident at work already. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, Audra, because this would be a really good time to, at least if you can, try to keep your energy lower and just do some of that healing that's necessary, because any kind of a shock or trauma sometimes can, you know, upset things. So try to take it easy.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
So we have Shirley next, I think.
All right. And I have number two, esteem and validation.
Okay.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
I have the Four of Hearts for you in support of that, Shirley. You know, sometimes I know we don't like to use the word miracle at times, but I do. But, you know, it's 'cause things, when they come out of nowhere, little gifts or opportunities, it feels like a miracle when you most need it. So all of what you've done for yourself, you know, and keeping your own thinking and your own beliefs and staying solid in the quiet of it, there is opportunity coming. And I think sooner than you think. That's what I'm getting here. So watch for those little gifts that they, as they come to you. You know, again, they can be small, but take you on a ride that's huge. So pay attention to the details. Well, I think, I don't know if, have you caught any other names, Michael?
I haven't. I was just taking a quick look through. So you can go ahead while we're wrapping up here. If we see your name thrown in, we'll make sure to grab one real quick. But you know, it's been a fun discussion tonight. We went over some, you know, interesting folklore. We talked about the season of Yule. And we talked about the fascinating traditions that go back countless millennia. It's part of the traditions that bind us together as people, as human beings. We see traditions from cultures that had no relation to one another. They were separated by oceans in a time when we could not traverse them. And yet, you see the similarities in essentially giving thanks to life. It boils down to a god of light, a sun god, the longer days. And, you know, it is just, it is a time of year to come together, to send out love. It's a time of year where the days get are shorter, it's cold, at least in the northern hemisphere. And we rely on one another. And we create these traditions to come together with one another, to find strength in one another. And that's what we did here tonight. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And thank you, Dr. Hunter. It is always my pleasure. It is. So,
you know, we want to, no matter what you're doing, everyone, in the next few days, just take a moment for yourself. And I know you're all grateful people. We know that. But take inventory of what you do have rather than what you don't have. And if you're setting goals for yourself, you're going to have the next week or so as we change a calendar year. And that's a discussion for, you know, the next show.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're going to segue into that. But don't be in a hurry. That's really, just heed it. Just don't be in a hurry. You know, just take this calm. Be in the gratitude of, I'm doing okay. I got food, I got shelter, and yeah, my power could go out and a lot of things, but you know what? It could be worse. I, you know, 100 years ago when there was a massive pandemic, a lot of people didn't have, you know, barely had a wood stove. There certainly wasn't a lot of electricity to go around to speak of, and many people were isolated. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the planet didn't even know what a telephone looked like. So we're okay. Really are. We're okay. And again, I'm not minimizing suffering, but I am saying if we know who we are and reach out to others and reach out when we need help ourselves, you know, you need to vent, we get it. But, you know, lend a hand to others and be really kind to yourself over the next few days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the time that that we recharge. So in whichever way that you celebrate, I hope that you have a happy holiday season. I hope that you have a happy solstice. And, you know, next week we're going to be talking about, just like you had said, Dr. Hunter, we're taking inventory, preparing for the new year. And we're looking forward to you joining us. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Happy Yule, everyone.